a subprime solution.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. The mortgage crisis has been threatening to get a lot worse. More than 2 million adjustable rate loans will reset to higher rates over the next 2 years. The fallout from that could be a disaster for an economy already flirting with recession. Now there are reports the government is prepared to help. A deal between the Treasury and major financial firms to temporarily freeze interest rates on certain subprime loans. It's being called the new, or rather the Hope Now Alliance. Details could be announced as early as next week. Late yesterday, Fed Chair Bernanke gave the markets hope for a cut in interest rates in less than 2 weeks. That boosted Asian stock markets overnight, and shares in Europe have followed along. There was little movement on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow picked up 22 to 13,311. The NASDAQ rose 5 points. The S&P was up a fraction. Crude oil has dropped below 90 bucks. Repairs have been made to the Canadian oil pipeline that exploded late yesterday. It carries about 20% of U.S. imported oil. A new law passed by Congress this summer is shaking up the lobbying business. It requires disclosure of the companies and groups that give more than $5,000 per quarter to lobbying efforts. Now, some big organizations in D.C. are worried about the effects this will have on their members, and they're asking Congress for help. Here's Jeremy Hobson.
Ever since the Jack Abramoff scandal, Congress has been looking for a way to close a loophole that allows front groups to lobby and keep donors' names secret. Craig Holman with the group Public Citizen helped push through the bill at issue here.
The public has long decided that it has a right to know who's trying to influence Congress, and Congress has agreed with the public, saying that Congress has a right to know who is footing the bill.
But some big-name trade groups say the new rules go too far. Quentin Regal is with the National Association of Manufacturers, which wrote a letter to Congress protesting the changes.
We have over 10,000 member companies. Many of them give more than $5,000 in dues, and that money is used in part for lobbying. So there could be thousands of companies affected by this.
Regal says if Congress doesn't clarify the new rules and narrow their reach, a lawsuit could be on the way. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Donald Trump might not get the chance to tee off on building a $2 billion luxury golf resort in northeast Scotland. This plan has been rejected by local politicians in Aberdeenshire, although the decision can be appealed. Let's bring in Mickey Foote of the Aberdeen Sustainability Group. Mickey, what's the issue?
What Trump's vision was of destroying 1,400 acres of the most beautiful countryside coastline in Aberdeenshire. I mean, we've said all along that this golf resort was a marketing device to sell high-end properties.
Mickey, are you a golfer?
I'm not a golfer, but I do enjoy watching golf. I've got no beef with golf. What I've got a beef with is the destruction of our countryside for profit.
What about the economic benefit that Aberdeenshire might see as a result of
it? And what is this economic benefit that you talk of? It was not demonstrable that this was a national economic benefit. We have a gross domestic product of £8 billion. This was proposing a £50 million a year income, which was Mr. Trump's unchallenged figures. There is no economic case. This was part of the myth.
Mickey Foote is with the Aberdeen Sustainability Group. Hey, Mickey, thanks so much for talking with us.
Okay, bye.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com. By the American Academy of Family Physicians. Personal preventive care for better patient health and reduced costs for business. AAFP.org/value. And by Prosper.com. America's marketplace for people-to-people loans. Prosper.com. Where you can compete to bid on loans to fellow Americans.
Dubai has been attracting worldwide attention. It's already a regional financial center, wielding massive oil wealth. This week, the Dubai Sovereign Fund bought a big stake in Sony. And beyond business, Dubai is fast becoming a tourist destination. And now, it's home to one of the fastest-growing film festivals. A week from tomorrow, it's opening night for the Dubai Film Festival. Let's bring in Mike Spire, executive editor for Variety here in L.A. Mike, Dubai seems to be becoming a hotspot for the entertainment business.
This is a big week for news coming out of Dubai, especially because of the film festival, because they're getting Hollywood talent, they're getting Hollywood films to come to a region and then come to a new festival that just a year or 2 years ago we didn't even really care or cover.
Obviously, they've got the money. Do they have the cachet to compete with some of the other big festivals at this point?
You said it right. They have the money, and when you have the money, I think the cachet comes right away. They might not have the history, but they certainly have the millions of dollars and the power that it takes to invite someone like a George Clooney for Michael Clayton. That's a film that's been chosen to be in the festival. So they're getting Hollywood players to come, and I think it's really because once you treat them with the respect and dignity that money can afford, I think they'll show up, and that's what they're trying to do. And once they get this going, a few years later on, they're going to have that cachet, especially at the film festival.
So 141 films. This is only the fourth year.
Right.
Are you surprised by how much they've been able to accomplish in just 4 years' time?
It's more not the amount of films, but the type of festival it is. They certainly have their sidebars in order. They have a whole section on Chinese film. They have obviously what they consider a wonderful section on Arab cinema, which, you know, no festival really takes care of Arab cinema. They might have Arab entries, but they have a whole collection, obviously for obvious reasons because of their region, of Arab cinema. And who knows what kind of talent comes out of that.
So what gets done? What kind of business is transacted at a festival like this?
Well, usually there's two types of festivals. There are ones that are just film festivals that just show films and invite people. There's a million of those. And then there are markets that join festivals, something like Cannes, where they have a festival and they get all the famous people, and then there's business to be conducted on the ground during the afternoon. And at Dubai, they do have a market. So it is not just people coming in and having a good time and going to parties, although that's part of it. During the day, there are movies to be bought and sold for different regions, and you can pony up for some of these entries for your territory, whether it's Asia or America.
Mike Speier is executive editor at Variety here in L.A. Mike, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.